So we are going to read the Bible together. So please grab one of the red Bibles and look on with one. And we're going to start by reading from 1 Timothy chapter 1. And that's page 960 in the red Bibles in your seats. So it's 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen. Our second reading is from Hebrews chapter 9, and that's on page 973. Hebrews chapter 9, reading from verse 26. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world, but he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. And the third reading is from Matthew 24 on page 806. So Matthew 24, starting at verse 36. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you don't know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time, and then he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Well, good morning, everyone. And we're back. Wonderful to catch up, isn't it? Great to see you all. My name's Graham, if we haven't met before. I'm one of the pastors here. And it's my pleasure to continue on this journey into Advent this year. And so join with me as we ask God to help us to understand his word and his purposes in this world. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the great God that you are. Thank you that you care for us, that you created us, that you sustain the creation that you've made, and that you have not only spoken into it, but you have come into it. Such was your desire that we should be with you forever. And that is what we remember you doing in the Lord Jesus Christ at Christmas. And as we come to this precious time of year, we have our hearts warmed again by that love. And yet it doesn't stop there. And so, Lord, please help us not only just to look back, but also to look forward and to do that in the best possible way. So please be with us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Give us big hearts and big ears to hear your word to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are well and truly into a time that we call Advent. And as we've already seen in the kids' talk, Advent simply means arrival or appearance. So pretty much every morning when I turn up at the office here, downstairs, there are a bunch of people waiting for me. No, they're not waiting for me. They're waiting at the bus stop for the advent of a bus. There they are. What's the purpose for being there? Waiting for the bus to come. So it has to do with the arrival or the appearance of something or someone. And so for Christians, it has become this period just before we celebrate Christmas, as we try and recapture some of that sense of expectancy and anticipation that existed before Jesus was born. Yeah? Agreed? Good? But if that's all, that's a bit weird. Maybe you don't agree with that. But it's a bit weird. Because he's already come, hasn't he? 2,000 years ago. And actually, when he did come 2,000 years ago, he sort of slipped in by the back door. We only know the whole picture. Because at least 60 or so years later, Matthew and Luke and John tell us all about it. And they would have known, obviously, before that through talking with Jesus himself. And so what is it that we're preparing for if we're waiting in this period of Advent? Obviously Christmas, but what about Christmas? Is it the sheer logistics of all of the celebration as we basically overindulge on all sorts of levels? We have a party on Jesus. That's what we're preparing for. That's what we're waiting for. Let's be honest. There's some of that in there, isn't there? Preparing to remember that Jesus already came a long time ago. Now that sounds better. That sounds more spiritual, doesn't it? And we do want to do that. But again, if that's all this is, it is a bit weird. We're preparing to remember the time when people were preparing for the arrival of Jesus. At best, we're preparing ourselves to remember that Jesus came. But if that's all we're doing, we're missing something. Something not just that we don't want to miss, but something that we simply cannot afford to miss. In fact, if we did miss it, we would be missing something that the New Testament reminds us that we don't want to miss. As you read through the New Testament of the Bible, this theme, this huge thing, comes up. It's touched on average, every 13 verses. It's that big a deal. And what is that? It's that this Advent thing is still a live issue. Very much a live issue. It's a looking forward thing, not just a looking back thing. We've got to get that. We are still waiting for God because we are still preparing for the coming of Christ, but not his first coming, obviously, and not just Christmas to celebrate his first coming, as we will do, but we're preparing, if we are Christ's people, for his second coming. So we had a number of readings in Hebrews, the Hebrews 9 reading. We read this, "But now Christ has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself." That's talking of his first coming. And then it goes on, "Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation," his advent, "to those who are waiting for him." So this Advent time is a time to look forward. And we talk quite a lot about things we're looking forward to, don't we? How many sleeps, as Keith was reminding us. And there are so many nice things in our lives, after all. And as we look forward to Christmas, with whatever that brings to us, but all of its nice things, one of those is remembering the Christmas story, and we've done that, and we do that, and we love to do that. But as we do that, I wonder whether you can say that you're also looking forward to the second coming of Jesus. In fact, I wonder whether you can say, especially this morning as we think about it, that you're looking forward to that more than anything else. Waiting is actually quite helpful for us to think about. Here's two ways it helps, and we'll discover some more, I think, as we go through. Waiting reveals our motives. Waiting has a way of bringing out the best and the worst in people. It tests commitment and resolve, doesn't it? You could keep waiting for something. You haven't realized it yet. It's still ahead. People who don't have good motives won't wait long because they're not interested in the commitment that it takes to see something through. They're too interested in perhaps short-term gains or success. So waiting reveals our true motives. What does waiting also do? It builds our anticipation. People treasure the things they wait for, and that is truest of all when we're waiting for God. I'm trying to build people's anticipation with that thing up there, which isn't a lolly. It's not a piñata. It's a great big Christmas cracker. It's going to get opened on Christmas morning. So if you want to be around for that, good. You're going to have to wait 9 sleeps. Waiting builds anticipation. People treasure the things they wait for. And when they get there and it's coming closer, they're, oh! And that's the challenge, some of the challenge of Advent. See, if you're not looking forward to Christ bringing salvation when he comes again, there are some serious problems for you to face. And so I want us to explore this with 3 questions this morning. The first question is this. Question 1, have you really understood Christ's first coming? The real Christmas message. So our reading in 1 Timothy said this, 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to what? In Hebrews 9 verse 26, Jesus has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to what? What? To make my life better? To give Christmas card designers a nice scene to paint? To make it possible for us to live here forever in this sort of life? You know, the way we talk and act sometimes, anyone would think exactly those things. No, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. He was born to die. Christ Jesus came to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. He was born to die. In Christmas, Jesus' first coming is about a Saviour, God born as a man. He was born into human life, tempted in every way. This is elsewhere in the book of Hebrews. Tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Because we are flesh and blood, Jesus too shared in our humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free them who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. It's important we understand why Jesus came. You could picture a person having a heart attack, right? Heart attack. The paramedics have turned up. Her condition is fatal, isn't it? Without the right diagnosis and treatment. Doctors here, nod your heads. Yeah, yep, good. On the right track. Here's the question. Why have the paramedics come? That's a pretty important question. Get the wrong answer to that, she's going to die. Have they come to make her feel more comfortable? Have they come to numb her pain? Well, you're a bit undecided here, aren't you, really? Blimey. Pump her full of morphine, give her as comfortable a death as possible? No, definitely not. Have they come just to hold her hand? Absolutely not. They may do all and some of those things. That is not why they've come. Have they come with one thing on their minds? You'd hope so, wouldn't you? So long as that one thing is to try and save her. She doesn't need painkillers. Initially, she needs defibrillation and adrenaline and all that sort of stuff. Keep the heart going, to save her. Why did Jesus come? To save you, to save me. Why should you believe this? Because he did come. Promised long beforehand, in detail, and his people knew they were to expect him, but guess what? They still missed him. They absolutely missed him. They underestimated their own need and they replaced it with what they wanted. And so Jesus turned up and they didn't think they wanted him. In fact, they missed him so badly, they end up crucifying him. Even that was promised hundreds of years previously. So have you understood his first coming? Christ Jesus came into the world to save to save sinners. Because if you haven't understood his first coming, you won't really make sense of our second point and our second question. Are you looking forward to Jesus' second coming? We tend to think of death as final, as ultimate. We tend to reflect on the life that was lived at the expense of any sort of existence to come, even though we're hoping desperately for it. I'm not just talking about us in him, I'm talking about people out in the world at large. But I do think it's something that's come out of our resurrection series recently, don't you? That I don't think we're that good at embracing the richness and the magnitude of our future hope. We've got some weird ideas. They came out in our connect groups. So we need to talk about this more. We need to look into God's word at what our hope actually is. And the writer to the Hebrews is clear that death is not the end at all. Hebrews 9 verse 27, people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. There's something else, the judgment. Really, it's payday. For as Romans 3 puts it, the wages of sin is death. And you might say, oh, well, if you've died, then you've been paid. But here's the thing. That only works if death means merely the end of your earthly life. And again, as we've learned recently, God has a much bigger idea of it than that. God is the giver of all life. He's the one in whom there is life. And in Romans 6:23, there's a contrast between what your wages earn you, the wages of sin is death, and what God can give you as a gift, which is eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Death is in parallel with eternal life. So this death that's in parallel with eternal life is much more, isn't it, than merely the end of our earthly existence. There are many other places we could go in Scripture just to establish that. So what we've got in view here is eternity stretching out infinitely into the future. And the death that's mentioned is much more than the end of your earthly existence. And there's this thing, the judgment, where good eternity or bad eternity is decided. And every single one of us here will be there. And every single one of the people that live around us will be there. Death is not the end. Now, how can we be confident of that? Well, simply because of Jesus again, resurrected from the dead. Death wasn't the end of him. The New Testament records in the gospel accounts and the letters that he rose again and then promised to return again. And so in Hebrews again, in our reading, we have it there in verse 28, Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time. He died once, he'll appear a second time, as it happens, at the judgment. But not now for him to be judged in our place. That's what happened on the cross. But now to be the judge. Now, where are we going with all of this? That's a great question for any preacher to consider. Where are we going with this? We're saying that if you haven't understood his first coming, you won't look forward to his second coming. Because verse 28 goes on. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, he's already done that, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. To understand his first coming, you have to know that you're a sinner and that Christ came to save you as a sinner, to bear sin in his death on the cross. That's his first coming. The point of his second coming is to now bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So who is waiting for him? Who's waiting for him? Some of you are. Fantastic. Actually, we're all waiting for him, whether we know it or not, and whether we believe it or not. Hopefully, we're all waiting for him as sinners who understood his first coming, as sinners who have been saved from a fearful expectation of that payday of sin, getting what we deserve for our sins, sinners who instead have been forgiven and they've been given the gift of eternal life and received it. You've got to do that with gifts. Remember that on Christmas Day. To receive those gifts. And they will enjoy that gift forever when Jesus comes again. That is why we are looking forward to the second coming. Now, there's some huge challenges here as we go through this time of Advent again. And to those of you who have been talking about celebrating Advent, for your information, we started thinking about it on the 18th of November when we began our resurrection series. But these challenges are most certainly to do with preparing for the coming of Christ. So our third question is this. For all of us, what are you preparing for? What are you preparing for? Is Jesus' second coming something that you long for, you can't wait for? are looking forward to. We don't know when he will come again, but we know that each day is a day nearer. And just as his first coming was promised and then realized, so also his second coming has been amply promised and is coming. So are you prepared for the coming of Christ? I'm going to turn now to our reading in Matthew. Very confronting, wasn't it? Be prepared. Be prepared. You do not know when. Matthew 24, verse 39, that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. That was Jesus' favourite title for himself. Two will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other will be left. So, verse 42, keep watch because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. What does that mean? Does that mean become a doomsday prepper? Doomsday preppers hiding themselves away, getting hold of a shipping container. Apparently shipping containers are awesome. They sort of float in the sea when they fall off a boat, some of them. But they also become instant anti-Armageddon bunkers that will protect you from anything, apparently. If you bury them in your garden, go in there and hide away like an ostrich, I think, burying its head in the ground. Hide away! Look after yourself. Wait it out in some container that you've buried in the garden. Calling it a bunker because it sounds better. Is that what you should do? Not at all. Jesus helps us. Here's what you should do. Who then is the faithful and wise servant? Verse 45, whom the master has put in charge of his servants in the household to give them their food at the proper time. It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Jesus has given his people stuff to be doing. And therefore be doing it when he comes. That's how you prepare. That's how you keep watch. Be about the master's business. Get involved with the work that he's given us to do. While we're waiting, when we're waiting for Jesus like this, all that we've learned about waiting comes into view again. Our motivations are laid bare. Anticipation is built up over time. But then also, this waiting transforms our character. Waiting builds patience, doesn't it, in our lives? Patience. And this waiting also, because it builds patience and reminds us that we're not in control, it builds intimacy and dependence on God. And so we find ourselves praying. We find ourselves faithfully walking along with God in our relationships. We find ourselves growing in our relationships with God. We major, don't we, at Christmas, and we've done it again this year, on the dangers of materialism and consumerism at Christmas time. We do that, and rightly so. We need to do that. We need to keep sifting through all the stuff to make sure that Jesus gets a mention at Christmas. Make sure that he's the reason for the season, as it's said. But perhaps for us, especially in the church, the regulars here, equally big dangers are these two. Sentimentalism and its relative tradition. Whoa, we can get pretty excited about those things, can't we? And look, they're nice in their own way. And they're nice in their right place. but they can be dangers that we cross lines with. Those two things, sentimentalism and tradition, can effortlessly deflect our gaze onto Jesus, who came 2,000 years ago, at the devastating expense of Jesus, who will appear a second time. Not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. That means our expectations in this period of Advent should be great. Not just about Christmas and all the nice stuff. Our expectations are that Jesus is coming again, and that is what we're waiting for. And that will be seen in how we wait. And that's what Christian Advent is all about. So can I ask again, have you really understood Christ's first coming? Have you really understood that? If you haven't, get some understanding. Find out. There's ways we can help with that. Come and speak to me or the people around in the church here. Can I also ask, if you've understood Christ's first coming, are you really looking forward to Christ's second coming? Are you? I pray that you are. And so what are you preparing for? Are you prepared for that coming? Are you prepared? You don't know when it's going to happen. We're getting prepared for Christmas, but Christ may come back tomorrow. All those Christmas plans, all that preparation, it's gone to one side. You won't be worrying about that. There will be no consideration in your mind, because you'll be taken up by being confronted in person with the Lord Jesus Christ in all his majesty and his splendor. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the message of Christmas. Thank you that Jesus came. And thank you that that is something for us to get excited about. And in its own way, our society and culture still gets excited about that. And we're thankful for that. But Lord, we want to see Jesus, because he is what it's all about. And Jesus wants us to see why he came. In his word, he's clear that we're to keep watch now, to understand as those who have been saved that he's coming back again. And so we not only want to prepare ourselves for that, but also to prepare others, as many as we possibly can, before he comes. And so we're so thankful for the opportunities that we have to share. We're so thankful for gathering us all here this morning to hear this. And we pray that throughout the rest of this Christmas season and beyond, as your people, we will wait faithfully. We will wait in such a way that our motives show what matters most of all in this world. And our anticipation will grow, and our character will be transformed, and our intimacy and dependence on you will also grow. These are the things that you've blessed us with in this time of Advent, as we look forward to Jesus coming again. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.